You up, it's Labor Radio. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor in Evening with Ken Stringfellow on Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center in Portland. Ken Stringfellow, founding member of the Posies, performs songs from his 30-year career as a musician. This night features songs and stories from his work as a solo artist, as well as Neil Young, Big Star, Robin Hitchcock, and much more. Again, that's an evening with Ken Stringfellow on Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 9 at the Hollywood Senior Center, 1820 Northeast 40th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
So I'm writing with the hope that someone's reading.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. And tonight, we're speaking with Maru Mora, who's a Seattle activist. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this resistance work around the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm myself an immigrant, and I'm an undocumented immigrant. I have been doing this work of immigrant justice for a really long time. But it was basically in the wake of a lot of introducing bills in Congress that were titled immigration reform, that I started learning that immigration reform meant something completely different to Congress versus us, the people that were looking for some sort of relief for being undocumented, which was created in the first place by the same administrations that decided to first criminalize the looking for a job without a social security number, and then second, not giving us the opportunity to just get a paper that allow us to stay in the country and work. And it wasn't until 2013 when we start noticing a lot of direct civil disobedience actions that were being done by undocumented immigrants themselves, stopping deportations under the Obama administration, that we came together to do one back in February 2014 to highlight not only that we needed to stop deportations in Washington State, but that we have one of the largest detention centers in the West Coast in Tacoma, Washington, and that led to the largest hunger strike so far in a detention center. March 2014, we had 1,200 people going on hunger strike. Since then, we continue supporting them, and our goal is to shut down the detention center while we get there, is to improve the detention conditions for everybody that is detained. And we're doing this in collaboration, obviously, with people detained. So our work is not necessarily leading in the outside, but actually following the leadership of people mm-hmm. detained.
And one of the organizations among many, but one of the main ones that you're with doing this work is La Resistencia. Can you talk about that, please?
Yes. So this group totally volunteer, very grassroots. When we began in 2014, we didn't even have a name. Somebody kept asking, you know, like, especially media kept asking, so who are you? We're like, we're just individuals, we're volunteers, and mm-hmm. we figured we needed some social media presence, and somebody came up with the name of Northwest Detention Resistance. And after 5 years, when we were reaching our five-year anniversary, we decided to change the name, and we decided to call ourselves only La Resistencia, which is actually, it was a great decision, because it turns out that now the detention center just changed names twice. Mm. Now, officially, it's called the Immigration Northwest Eye Processing Center.
Mm.
So wow. They just changed that over the summer. Again, two different names. That's the one I think is going to stick for some time. We still call it Northwest Detention Center because, I mean, whatever name they want to call it, at the end of the day, it's a cage, and we
right.
are opposed to cages for humans.
Right. Well, you know, the last time that we saw each other might have been in Olympia, Washington, for a Rachel Corrie conference that was connecting international struggles, specifically Palestine, with prison abolition and all of the work that you're doing against, you know, ICE in general, specifically in the Northwest, against the ICE Detention Center in Tacoma, the regional one. And here we are. I think it's been about 5 years now, and here we are. We're still doing this work. And what are the updates? How has this work changed, and where is the larger campaign at now in calling to abolish and shut down the Northwest Detention Center?
Well, it's actually amazing the results that we've seen in 5 years. I mean, if you think about it, 5 years is not that long, right? There's
mm-hmm.
been movements that take decades. And
yeah.
one thing I think that is very, very clear is people know about the detention center. 5 years ago, most people didn't even know that existed. We have a clear leadership inside, although people, you know, keep switching because obviously people either get released or get deported. There's now a constant people know inside of us. They call us, and when they're ready to organize, know that we are the group that will support their organizing. And I think that one of the biggest successes that we need to claim is that ICE has been creating a PR campaign in the past couple of months, knowing that they're losing big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people have agreed with us in summer that and last year as well, obviously, that ICE needs to be abolished. I mean, the fact that the things they do to adults now expanded to children, and the number of people that keep dying under their watch while detained, the torture that people go through. Now ICE has been calling media to invite them to a tour of the detention center. They've been actually asking some media, local TV channels, to be embedded with them and go and do raids.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that during the raids, the media that is there actually to support them, they find out that they're taking people they're not supposed to be taking. They're just grabbing Latinx people, saying, oh, this is my target. And it turns out it wasn't their target. I mean, they're desperate. And so for us, that shows a clear win. And here in Seattle, we actually, last May, we were able to stop the deportation flights taking off from King County Airport. Now they moved to the east side of the state. Now they're taking off from Yakima. But the fact that Seattle decided not to participate in that, and we just learned that ICE reached out to other two airports nearby here instead of far away, and both of those two airports decided not to collaborate, guys. I think that there's this growing sentiment, not only of individuals, but even elected officials, that I understand they should not be in any way be seen collaborating or being part
mm-hmm.
of the ICE
mm-hmm.
activities to go against our communities.
We want to hear more about the organizing in a minute. But one thing I just to kind of go over a little bit is if you could just give us maybe a short anecdote on why it's so bad, what's so bad about it, the conditions and the things, because some people maybe who aren't familiar with this don't understand how bad the conditions are and how much of a monster ICE is in these detention centers.
Yes, you know, during 18 hunger strikes that we have supported, there's very similar demands, and almost the top one is food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that food is not food, is garbage. That's something that happens all the time during every hunger strike. We get that as the top demand. People say this is done purposely. They give us this trash, so we are hungry, and we have to end up buying from the commissary,
mm-hmm.
which is another business. So the detention center is run by a private corporation, GEO Group, and they make a lot of money. Just actually, this detention center is one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive, throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And they also rely on slave labor. You know, they have a captive labor there. They put people to work. Sometimes they don't pay anything, and when they do, they pay a dollar a day. And so, actually, if you go inside the detention center, you would think that this detention center is not so bad. It's really shiny. Actually, that's the way people in detention describe it. It's shiny. But it is because people are put to paint walls constantly. They're made to wax the floors constantly. So it looks okay because it's a slave labor maintaining their backbone of the detention center. Yet the treatment of guards is been always terrible. We have had cases of people being beat up by the guards, either because, you know, they just don't like us because we're people of color and we don't speak English, or because people are trying to do hunger strikes and they get beat up. The use of solitary confinement is constant. The lack of medical care, we have so many people reporting all the time horrible medical conditions. Since March, we have almost daily reports of maggots in the food. In the past 2 weeks, we have had people being creative, calling the relatives, saying, let's do a video call and I'll show you, I'll try to show you in the video call what I found. We have a video that shows a screw in the salad. And NGO guards came and told them, oh, you placed it there. And they're like, where are we going to get it from? You don't even let us keep plastic or paper to do crafts. You confiscate everything from us. Where are we going to get a screw from?
Mm-hmm.
And so the constant right now of maggots and blood, hairs, you know, foreign items in food have created a constant for people to decide not to eat. It's not that they're on hunger strike. They just decided not to eat that food. So mm-hmm. now they're forced to find money to eat from the commissary. So, the best way to describe it is as one of the persons detained recently said during an interview with media, this place is very shiny, but it's horrible.
Wow. So you mentioned that the Northwest Detention Center is a very expensive, and it also is run privately by GEO Group. Can you talk about a little bit about GEO Group for people who might not familiar with them? What is GEO Group up to these days that might be different, if anything? And also, again, these horrible, amazing costs that people are paying in their tax dollars for to uphold these institutions.
Yeah, GEO Group started in the 80s during the Reagan era of the war against drugs, quote unquote, that was the war against poor people of color. They're the ones that started this trend of private prisons. By the 90s, there was a great effort from abolitionists trying to stop the spread of private prisons. So GEO decided to jump on immigration detention then. So by 2000, they were already in conversations with the Bush administration to privatize immigrant detention, which really didn't exist back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so when 9/11 happened, it's the perfect excuse to create the Department of Homeland Security to try to equate immigration with terrorism. And that created the spread of all these detention centers throughout the nation that didn't exist before. GEO and Correction Corporations of America are the top two corporations that have the biggest numbers of contracts with ICE. They are the ones that have lobbied for all these criminalization bills that keep popping up, not only at federal level, but in every state. They have invested a lot in campaigns of people like Trump and others locally. They do work a lot in trying to get their own elected members of Congress or city councils at every level to continue creating punitive laws that will guarantee that they will have clients.
Mm-hmm.
They also recently they have lost a lot of investment. A lot of banks have decided to divest from GEO and TCA. When Trump took office, actually their stock went up the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And now that a lot of banks, most banks, based on what we know, have decided to start pulling off their investments. It seems their stocks are going down, but that doesn't mean that the number of people they have in cages has slowed down. As a matter of fact, we are at the maximum ever that we have seen in this nation of people detained. The maximum for this year is 55,000 people detained every day throughout the nation.
Wow.
And we're reaching that number already. Mm-hmm. As an example of how GEO Group works in tandem with the Trump administration is that in Louisiana, a state that only had two detention centers in 2017, by 2019, they have 17. That's 17 detention centers. That's 15 detention centers in less than 2 years that have been created somehow. Either some prisons have been switched to immigration detention, or new ones are being built as we speak.
Mm-hmm. For folks just tuning in, you are listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland, and we're here with Maru Mora, calling for the shutting down of the Northwest ICE Detention Center, and she's with the organization La Resistencia, that's .org. Look that up, as well as there's plenty of abolish ICE groups also working alongside these similar goals. And we're talking about the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington. And Maru, can you tell us, why is it in the Pacific Northwest that we have just one in Tacoma? Because you were just talking about how they're setting up all these other ones in Louisiana and other states. And how is that different in a regional context?
It is very different, and I think they decided on one because the community, especially Latinx community, mm-hmm. I don't think it matches with the number, the population in other states.
Mm-hmm.
If you see California or Texas, I mean, they have so many detention centers, yet we only have one. But the difference, though, that although being this the regional one that serves Oregon, by the way, Idaho, we even have people from Montana, sometimes from Alaska. More than half of the population detained right now in the detention center come from the southern border. And the other thing is that every state is collaborating in detention of immigrants. For example, in Oregon, there's two sheriffs that are more than happy to continue collaborating with ICE by detaining people in their jails.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is NORCOR in the Dalles. They have had a contract with ICE for some years now, and at least since 2017, that contract jumped for over $1 million per I don't know, 20 to 25 people at a time from ICE custody. And so also here in Washington State, there's a couple of jails that have contracts with ICE, although they're not supposed to anymore. So it might seem that this is the only place, but in reality, the collaboration of police and sheriffs in the apprehension and the detention of immigrants is happening throughout the nation.
Wow. This organizing that you do and that others do, and for anybody who's working directly with, you know, prisoners, people in detention, it's just amazing work. It's important work. It's very difficult work. And one thing about it, of course, is that when there's the inside-outside connection with outside organizers, friends and family members of incarcerated or detained persons, and then, you know, people that are inside, and the communication can be very elusive. And so with what you do is very difficult. How is it actually done? You mentioned that there's a lot of reporting about the conditions inside, and how are you able to connect with these folks and or friends and family members of people who are being detained?
Well, we are constantly outside the detention center talking to families.
Mm-hmm.
We do actions. We do something that is called Solidarity Days, which means we're just outside talking to families as they come in or they leave the detention center. We tell them who we are so they can communicate to people inside so they know there's a group outside
mm-hmm.
Ready to support them. We utilize radio that stations that we know they listen to. We also go to TV stations that we know they watch. We use a lot of social media as well, for families to know what we're doing. And people inside have our phone numbers, so they call us constantly. I mean, just today I missed about 20 calls, but I picked up like 10 of them. And I'm not the only one. We have a series of volunteers that are staffing our 800 number that we have inside the detention center. So it requires our attention, our constant attention, but also our constant presence outside the detention center. Because sometimes when we're outside, people get transported in or out, and they can see us, right? So having a constant presence outside the detention center is critical for people to know that we're ready to support their fight. But it's a lot of work, obviously. In all these years, you know, we get people that get tired. We let them take a break, but we hope that they come back.
Right.
but we require everybody to do this with us. There's no way we can win this by ourselves.
And where does legal support or legal consultation fit into any of this work?
Well, you know, something that we're very clear with when people call us is that we explain to them, look, we're volunteers, we have no lawyers. But even if we had them, that doesn't mean you're going to win and you're going to get released or you're not going to get deported.
Right.
We're very clear that, yes, it's great that people have legal representation, yet under this regime, there's no guarantee that you're going to win. As a matter of fact, it's very unlikely that you're going to win. Therefore, we call for the abolition of detention and deportation, because we cannot rely anymore on legal representation. People keep losing their cases. We see people with clear evidence for asylum, yet is denied. A lot of people have told us about their evidence being destroyed by ICE.
Wow.
So even if they have the best representation, but ICE doesn't let them. I mean, another example is the lack of access to the law library. We know of legal representation that keep asking for money left and right. And every time people call them and say, hey, give me a lawyer, they say, we don't have enough. There's also the bonds. You know, if people do get released, usually they're given a bond, and bonds are expensive. They go here from $10,000 to $30,000. Where are families going to get that? There's a lot of groups now asking money for bonds. Still, there's not a lot of people that are released in a bond, because the more people are detained, the more money this corporation makes, and the more effective it is for ICE to continue, you know, terrorizing our communities. So yes, it's important, but for us, it needs to be clear that the legal community needs to understand we have to abolish ICE, we have to end detention, that we have to end deportations, because deportations is violent, and legal groups need to start switching into an abolition frame. And really, our aim is that these lawyers end up doing another kind of law, and they don't have to do immigration law, because it's not working.
Maru, it's an amazing idea talking about abolition in the 21st century, if it's prisons, if it's detention centers. If somebody was confused about this issue and what that really means, can you talk about what are the implications? If we're talking about that people aren't illegal, no one is illegal, and that we need to abolish this system, What does that mean for the larger society? What would you say would be like the end, you know, vision when we're able to achieve these goals?
We would go back to not a long time ago. I mean, ICE and Homeland Security, they've been around for 16 years only. This is not a far-fetched idea to think that we don't have to detain people for civil proceedings, and we don't have to deport anybody for criminal proceedings. I mean, in reality, the American value is that, you know, once you went through the criminal system and you quote unquote paid your debt to society, you're done. But that's not what immigration systems are doing. They're utilizing that as an excuse to deport people. So let's just think about 20, 30 years ago. We didn't have this machine. People weren't deported in these, you know, millions of numbers. Deportations have happened, yes, and they're being very, you know, racialized. It happened with the Chinese communities. It happened with my Mexican community after the Bracero program. It's not new, but it hadn't we didn't have an infrastructure like the one we have right now. The detention and deportation is only an excuse to create a new business.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is to undo this business, not only for GEO Group or CCA, but also for Immigration Customs Enforcement. They're the agency with the most money in regards to federal enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, you know, if you combine the budgets of the FBI, CIA, ATF, U.S. Marshals, they don't have the amount of money that ICE has. ICE is now taking money from FEMA. In
wow.
the middle of hurricane season, 2 years in a row, they have taken money away from them to create more detention and deportation. So I believe that it is possible. I believe we're winning. And that's why the launch of our campaign, really, really clear campaign to shut it down that happened last week, was so successful. We, in less than 2 weeks, have been able to get 100 organizations to endorse a very clear call that we put out that says we believe in ending immigration detention, and as such, we call for the shutdown of the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington. Immigration detention has no place in Washington State or anywhere else. We believe that immigrants belong with their families and communities. And so we have now nearly 100 organizations signing on to this endorsement. We are getting calls even from some local candidates running for office saying they want to endorse. We also have an online individual petition for those that don't have groups, but they agree with this statement. And we believe that it's very, very clear that most of the people in the United States agree with us that we don't need detention, we don't need deportation, and we don't need ICE.
That's great. And as far as other resources, there's your website, laresistencia.org. Any other movements, organizations, things that people should also be checking out as far as getting more plugged in and learning more about this?
Yeah, well, our website is laresistencianw.org. So that's La Resistencia Northwest. Yes, so laresistencianw.org. We are also part of Mi Gente, and that's MIJENTA.net. Mi Gente is we're part of this national Latinx group, which leads this campaign against Amazon and the use of technology for immigration enforcement. If you go to our page of laresistencianorwest.org, we have a list of all the endorsements, and we have websites for all those organizations. We recommend that as you see through the list, click on some of those organizations. They're all great organizations, not only from here, but Washington, but beyond Washington. There's the Detention Watch Network, which is a national network that we also belong to. And if you go to our Facebook page and our Instagram or Twitter, La Resistencia NW, you will learn about other efforts that we're supporting, such as the call of repurposing the building that was just finished almost here in Seattle to use for youth,
right.
To detain youth. But also, there was a hunger strike in Clallam Bay Prison here in the peninsula recently. And so we're calling for the Department of Corrections to meet the demands of those hunger strikers, but also to bring back those that were transferred. Some people were transported all the way from west to the east side of the state in retaliation. So we're always supporting other prison abolition movements and grassroots movements throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm. And in the Northwest, again, people should be looking out, via your website and all the things you mentioned, days and times that they can also go to Tacoma if they're not in Tacoma, up or down on the I-5 corridor here in the Pacific Northwest, to attend these kind of information, community outreach kind of events that you're doing there.
Yes, we're really good at utilizing social media to let people know about the different activities we have. For example, in November 1st and 2nd, we do our traditional commemoration of Day of the Dead, and we are outside the detention center doing the commemoration. We also are part of a network in Oregon, a group, Gorge Ice Resistance. They do weekend demonstrations outside North Cordell, calling for the end of the contract with ICE. So if you happen to be in the Dallas area you know, check out on a weekend the North Coryell in the Gorge Ice Resistance Group. And if you happen to be around here in the Tacoma area, check out our Facebook page, and you'll see a lot of the different activities that we have at the detention center and other activities that we're supporting.
All right. Sounds like a plan. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Big thanks to our guest, Mato Mora. Thanks so much. Thanks for all the great work you're doing. Thanks for being on the show. We hope to have you again soon. And, of course, thanks to our engineer, Selena, and free them all.
You're listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon. Up next is Hard Knock Radio.
Hiring a development director. This position develops and implements a yearly fundraising plan, ensures we meet our revenue goals, and develops promotional and press materials. The ideal candidate will have at least 4 years proven development experience in the nonprofit sector and strong annual report, newsletter, and grant writing skills. KBOO is an affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. To apply, email a resume and cover letter to developmenthire@kboo.org. Deadline to apply is Monday, October 21st at 5:00.